a tool shed sat near the concrete base that supported the dish. Bending close to a window, he heard the noises more clearly and grinned. A slave's rags were draped over the window to hide what was going on inside, but through the rips in the cloth he could see three naked women stroking one another, caressing and kissing, hands cupping breasts and stroking between open thighs. Unable to tear his eyes away from the delicious sight, he pressed closer to the window as a large-breasted slave lay down upon a work table, asking to be taken. Their moans and cries of pleasure grew louder as their sex play became more passionate and inventive. Rubbing the front of his clothing, the corporal glanced around to make sure nobody else was near, then holstered his blaster and slid a hand into his pants for some relief himself. Instantly, the shadows rose behind him, and a woman grunted with exertion as she drove two long spikes into each of his ears. Convulsing, the corporal gurgled incoherently. The slave waited until he was still, then scratched on the window. A few seconds later, the three women stepped from the hut, wearing blue shirts and boots, and carrying blasters. The fourth slave passed over a set of keys, and they separated quickly, leaving the corpse on the cold ground. Wearily walking from his bathroom, Silas Jamevu turned off the lights and poured himself a stiff drink from a crystal decanter. The amber color of the pre-dark liquor was that of new honey, the smell ambrosia. He only hoped it would mix with the drugs and give him a night of dreamless sleep for once. Opening a small vial, he added a measured dose of morphine, then doubled the amount. Even with the drug, he still wasn't sleeping well. The dream, always the terrible dream. Draining the glass in a few swallows, Silas sat on his bed and kicked off his velvet slippers. The room was nicely warm, the heavy curtains blocking any noise of the troops on patrol outside. It had been a long and fruitful day of work. The master computer system for the kite seemed to be working fine today, but the real test would come tomorrow when they tested the focusing mechanism. Having the ultimate weapon meant nothing unless it could be used with surgical skill. Clubs were for cavemen, and he was a scientist. Snuggling under the covers, Silas fought against the drug coursing through his veins, formulas and mathematical equations filling his mind. But finally, he relaxed and let heated sleep claim him once again. Almost immediately, sweat formed on his brow, and his eyelids began to flutter. Groaning and mumbling in the delirium, the man couldn't hear the cover come off the air conditioning vent in the wall. It was maneuvered inside the shaft, and a figure slowly emerged from the wall, lowering himself to the floor, the bare feet making no sound. The invader waited until his vision became adjusted to the dark, then drew a length of rope from around his waist. Holding an end in each hand, he crept toward the snoring man. Standing above the sleeper, the slave watched the rise and fall of the madman's chest, savoring this moment of revenge. Then he bent over to slide the garrote around the unprotected throat of the man who had tortured to death so many people in the name of his holy science.
Victory or death, and it's death for you, white coat.
A muffled cough sounded, and the room flashed with light. The slave stumbled backward, bleeding from the chest. He hit the wall and dropped the garrote, drawing a blaster. Again the cough sounded, the muzzle flash of the silenced weapon strobing the darkness as the soft-nosed rounds punched the slave to the ground with sledgehammer force. Brilliant lights flooded the room, and Major William Sheffield walked over to the dying slave, the unfired blaster still in the unfortunate wretch's hands. Coolly, Sheffield shot the skinny man once in each eye, cracking open the skull. A trickle of brains flowed down the wall and onto the floor.
Secure the room!
A platoon of SecMen poured in from the hallway to swarm around Silas, forming a living wall of protection. A SecMan exited the closet with a silenced pistol, an electronic device of some kind strapped to his face. The guard slid off the visor.
It was amazing! I could actually see in the dark. Everything was colored green, but I could see!
Yes, you did well. Pity you let the slave get so close to the commander.
Sheffield swung his weapon at the guard.
Sir,
Crossing the room, he shot the man again to make sure of the job, then strode over to the mumbling scientist.
Dr. Jamivu?
He shook the man, but there was no response. Impatiently, he slapped the old man hard. Nothing but more mumbling. Sheffield addressed the troops.
Okay, we handle this ourselves. Sound the call, but do it quietly. We know the slaves have been planning something for a while. I thought it was a mass escape, but it looks like they might plan on killing us first.
Cradling an AK-47 long blaster, a corporal wearing a bulletproof vest snorted.
Bad choice on their part, sir. They might have had a chance in hell of running away.
Silently mouthing curses, a sec man toppled off the roof of the power plant, his face dark purple, a length of knotted rope wound around his constricted throat. Screaming, a sec man stumbled out of the officer's lab, his pants dragging around his ankles and blood pouring from his ass, the feather shaft of an arrow protruding from between his plump cheeks. The door to the dining hall was thrown open, and slaves poured out, carrying weapons and ammo belts. Inside, a dozen sec men lay sprawled on the linen-covered tables, black tongues sticking out of their foaming mouths, the beer mugs dripping a bluish liquid on the freshly scrubbed floor. Shouting orders, armed sec men piled out of the barracks, and the night came alive with blaster fire as they were cut down on the street by hidden snipers. Suddenly, sirens blared and lights clicked on, filling the complex with blinding illumination. But the tactic failed miserably. Instead of startling the slaves and making them run away in fear, it gave them heart. They used the visibility to shoot down additional sec men, then seized their long blasters to kill more of the blue shirts.
Victory or death!
A woman waved a bloody long blaster. The rally cry was repeated by 100 people in rags, brandishing weapons of every possible description. In a thunderous crash, the side of the main warehouse broke apart, and an Abrams M1 tank rolled out of the building, crushing under its massive armored treads several Hummers that had been commandeered by slaves. Oddly, nobody fired a weapon at the tank, and the commander began to laugh as the gunner tracked the machine guns of the military juggernaut after the slaves scattering throughout the complex. As the Abrams rumbled past the barracks, a glass window shattered, and a slave leaped upon the machine, clinging to the thick barrel of the 120mm cannon like a monkey. More laughter sounded from within the Abrams, and then a series of metallic clanks announced the main gun was being loaded. Light poured from the barrel, and the slave released the handle of the Gren in his hand and threw it down the barrel. The men inside cursed in shock. Releasing the cannon, the slave fell to the soil and tried to run, but the military tank loomed above him like a wall of death. He darted to the left, the right, but not fast enough. The treads caught his leg, and he was pulled underneath the massive machine, shrieking and wailing, until his head was mashed flat. Then the Gren detonated. Flames shooting from the cannon, and out every port and hatch. Steam rising from its vents, the Abrams stood motionless in the street, the smell of death pouring from the broken vehicle. With the destruction of the army tank, the fighting became pandemic in the ville. Shots rang out constantly, screams coming from every building. The fighting went hand to hand at the armory, as each side struggled to reclaim the precious cache of ammo. Triumphantly, the sec men gained control of the building, ruthlessly shooting the slaves crawling in through the broken windows and shimmying out the fireplace flue. Then a horn sounded a single clear note, and the slaves raced away from the structure. Weapons at the ready, the sec men stuffed Grens into their pockets and waited for the next assault, when the floor below erupted in a strident blast. The entire building lifted into the air, the tunnels below the foundation clearly visible for a split second, before the tons of masonry plummeted earthward in a grisly rain. That was the turning point of the battle. Now the slaves openly challenged the sec men, blaster for blaster, man for man, and the blues were decimated every time they tried to make a stand. Soon the sec men were ducking for cover, then retreating to strategic locations, and finally running for their lives before the relentless advance of the ragged horde.
Retreat to the bunker!
The sec chief launched a flare into the nighttime sky. the incandescent charge soared upward and detonated in a pyrotechnic display visible from everywhere in the complex. A shot hit him